Chapter 9. Expelled? My mother cried when she got home from work that night. I didn't even try to defend myself because I knew there was no point. She wasn't going to listen to anything I had to say. I'm sorry, Ma.
Sorry?
She yelled, her voice rising even higher, piercing my skull. Is that all you have to say? That's not good enough. Sorry doesn't fix anything.
What do you want from me? I told you, what do I want?
She repeated, cutting me off and moving right into my face.
What I want is for you to stop throwing your life away. Your principal told me you pushed the teacher.
I couldn't believe my ears. Not my son, I started to tell her. But she said at least 10 people watched you do it.
Pushed a teacher? Even at Zamora you never did nothing like this.
Ma, I was signing up for my friend, I tried to explain. I needed her to understand that I wanted to do the right thing, that I didn't mean for this to happen. No matter what happened, I wasn't a bad person.
I just lost it when...
Yeah, you lost it all right. You threw away everything. Everything.
Ma, you don't understand.
No, you don't understand.
You're killing me. I can't take it no more. Every day I go to work, I'm scared of what you're doing. Whenever the phone rings, I'm afraid to pick it up. One day you're in the hospital, the next you're in the police station. Then I get a call from your principal saying you got expelled. What are you trying to do to me?
She demanded, her words hitting me harder than any punches, breaking me up inside.
But Ma, I told you it was an accident. I didn't mean to hit him. These dudes were hurting this kid and...
I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of you making everything so difficult all the time. And I'm tired of your excuses. No matter what happened, you could have handled it differently. Told the teacher, talked to the principal. You had a choice, but what did you do? You went and started hitting.
I knew part of what she said was right, but she didn't understand what seeing Eric did to me, how it scraped open the wound of Weddle's death. I was drenched in gasoline, and it was the match that set me on fire.
I can't keep doing this, mijo. I'm getting too old, she said, heading down the hallway to her bedroom. Her voice became weaker somehow, like something deep inside her had broken, had finally started to give up.
I moved us here to get you out of the barrio, to get you a decent education, and to give you a chance your brother will never have. If all you're going to do is throw it away,
shame on you, she said, taking a deep breath and wiping her eyes. I need to go to bed. It's been a long day. She walked past me into her bedroom and closed the door, leaving me standing at the edge of the dark hallway alone. The candles beneath Weddle's picture cast the only light in the hall. I looked at his portrait and fought back the tears. I'm sorry, I whispered, to my mother, to Weddle, to everyone I'd wronged. But my mom's word echoed in my head, slicing me like switchblades inside, cutting me to the bone. You're killing me. Shame on you. The words hurt so much I almost didn't care that Frankie was closing in like a pit bull ready to bite my throat. Mijo, I'm working late tonight for inventory. There are leftovers in the fridge. Nelson will bring me home. Call me if you need anything. I reread the short note my mother stuck on our refrigerator. Her words were cold and distant. I crumbled the paper and tossed it into the trash can when I heard a knock at the door. For a second, I imagined Frankie had come already, but when I looked through the tiny peephole, I saw Vicky staring back at me. She looked nervous. Suddenly, I was too. I thought about not answering the door. It was almost noon, and I hadn't even showered. I knew I looked bad, but I couldn't just leave her standing there. And part of me was grateful to see her. "What's up, Vicky?" I said, opening the door. She was wearing a snug pink t-shirt and jeans, and she looked better than ever. Seeing her, I didn't know what to say. My tongue was all in knots. All I could do was be honest.
It's good to see you, girl. I can't believe you came here, though.
You think you're going to keep me away with a note like this? She replied, with a smile. She was holding the note I wrote her in class yesterday. When I read it, it was like, why hasn't he just been honest with me? She was staring at me, her eyes friendly and sincere. In her gaze, I felt exposed somehow. It was like she could see right into me, like she was looking at the guilt in my heart, the stupid mistakes I made, the trouble hanging over me like a curse.
Look, I'm sorry, Vicky. I've just had a rough time lately.
A lot of stuff has been going on, and I didn't handle it well, I admitted. I needed her to understand I never meant to hurt her. I shouldn't have treated you that way. You're right, and if you do it again, you'll be sorry, she teased. I am sorry, Vicky. Seriously, I said. I know you are, Martin. That's why I'm here, she replied. You think I'd come over here if I thought you were a jerk? Girl, you're crazy. Just because I'm sorry doesn't mean what I said to you isn't true. You should stay as far away from me as possible. I meant the words, forced them out even though they hurt to say. Oh my God, I'm so sick of hearing that. Look at me, Martin. I'm standing here because I like you. If you honestly don't want me around, just tell me and I'll leave. But if I hear another person, especially you, tell me I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm gonna freak. How can you be so sure about me, Vicky? I said, unable to hide the sadness bubbling inside me. I stepped away from the door so I could hide my eyes, but she followed me. "'Cause if you were really a jerk, you wouldn't try so hard to protect me, Martin,' she said, putting her hand on my shoulder. "'If you were really a jerk, you wouldn't have stood up for Eric in the locker room. "'And if you were really a jerk, you wouldn't apologize to me neither. "'Believe me, I know what I see in you, and I'm sure I'm right.' "'I felt like someone who had been lost in the desert. "'Her words were like water. "'I wanted to drink them in, to believe them, but I knew better. "'But there's so much you don't know, Vicky.' I was staring at the floor, shaking my head. Snapshots of all the things that screwed up flashed through my head. Wedo lying on the ground. Frankie kicking Caesar. Me hiding the truth from everyone. So tell me. That's what friends do, right? We were standing in my living room. The sun was shining outside. And there before me was this beautiful dark-haired girl who challenged me like no one else. I looked at her and just shook my head. I felt like I was standing on the edge of a cliff. And she was asking me to climb down to the bottom with her. My heart was racing. I don't even know how, Vicky. She glanced over my shoulder to the hallway. I knew she could see the candles and Weddle's picture in the distance. Is that your little brother? She asked, slowly stepping past me toward the hall. Yeah, that's Weddle. The picture was taken about a year before... You know. I moved next to her. Our shoulders touching. Oh my God, Martin, you two have the same eyes. You think so? Definitely, she said, examining the picture. He's cuter than you, though. I almost smiled at her then. He was the coolest kid, Vicky. You would have loved him. It was the first time I'd ever really talked about Weddle to someone that didn't know him. I believe it, Vicky said. I feel like I know him a little bit through you, and I like him already. She smiled and placed her hand on my shoulder. I felt like I was melting inside, like my anger and sadness was a tight fist that she was gently opening. I miss him so much, I confessed. She rubbed my back then, and I couldn't hold back. It was like cracks were opening inside me and pain was ready to pour out. Why couldn't I have protected him? Why did he have to die, Vicky? My voice was shaking, breaking up. But the words kept coming. Why wasn't it me that got shot? I asked, trying to pull away from her, but she held me. I'm so sorry, Martin, she said, pressing herself into me. There were tears in her eyes. It should have been me, I said, my face burning with shame. I had never said the words, but they haunted me every day, clouded everything I did since Weddle died, made me hate my own reflection and wish I'd never been born. No, Martin, she said, touching my face. It shouldn't have happened to anyone, not you, not Weddle. But you can't do that to yourself. You have to go on. That's all we can do. It should have been me, I repeated, tears rolling down my face, my chest beginning to heave. I didn't want to cry. I had fought it for so long, kept everything buried down deep. But Vicky's words, her touch and her tears thawed me. I wish it was me. I wept then like a small child, felt the hurt like lead weights on my back begin to lighten slightly. Vicky hugged me the whole time. I listened to her breathing and felt her heart beat against my chest. Twice she wiped her own eyes, the tears she shed for Weddle, for me. I don't know how long we stood there holding each other in front of Weddle's picture. When we finally pulled away, My t-shirt was splotchy and wet from our crying. With anyone else, I would have been embarrassed, but not with her. We stared at each other for several long seconds without a word. Then she did something that surprised me. She leaned forward and kissed me. Her lips were soft and smooth. I closed my eyes and touched her soft face, ran a hand through the long spiral curls that stretched down her back, smelled the strawberry shampoo she used to wash her hair. We kissed just once, but we spent the rest of the day together. I didn't tell her about Caesar or that Frankie was coming later that night. I was afraid she might do something crazy and get herself hurt for me. I couldn't risk that. You have to fight your expulsion, Martin. You have to go to that hearing and tell the superintendent everything, she said later that day when we were eating pizza at Nico's. There's no way he's going to listen to me. Everyone who saw me thinks I'm a thug. I heard the secretaries talking about me in the office. Who cares what they think? They don't get it. You got to make them understand and show them who you really are, she urged. There was this tiny crease in her forehead. I'd seen it in the class whenever she said something she really believed in. Now it was there because she believed in me. I didn't agree with the words she said, but I wanted to kiss her again right there. She was as much a fighter as anyone I knew, and she was on my side. But it's not that simple, Vicky, I explained. She started shaking her head at me. I knew she didn't understand what it was like to have everyone think you were a criminal, how you were guilty before you even opened your mouth. Besides, I pushed Mr. Dooling. Well, if you don't fight this, shame on you, because I expected more from you, she said, putting her hands on her hips. I couldn't believe her words, the same ones my mother had said. Girl, this isn't even about you. Why are you getting in the middle of it? I'm already in the middle of it. Steve's my ex-boyfriend, remember? And then there's you. She smiled, and for half a second she blushed. She knew what I was going to ask her next. I could see it in her face. And what am I? That depends. What do you want to be? She asked with a sly smile. My heart jumped. I grabbed her hand. For the first time at Blueford, I had a true friend. And for the first time in my life, I had found a girl who moved my soul. It figures both came on the day I had to face Frankie, the day after I was kicked out of Blueford. I'll tell you later, I said, holding her hand, making a silent promise to answer the question if I ever got the chance to be with her again, if I survived my clash with Frankie. She squeezed my hand back and smiled. She knew I wasn't telling her everything, but right then it didn't matter. I wish I could have bottled the moment, saved it forever somehow, because at that table in the back of Nico's, with Vicky's soft hand in mine, I felt something new, something I'd lost months ago, maybe something I never really had. I felt glad to be alive. And yet, even then, I could feel Frankie coming to strip it all away, snuff it out like a candle. If there was going to be any hope for me in this world, I had to stop him. Tonight.